welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can help you improve your game. Today on the podcast, we're going to hopefully get to three topics of discussion here. Our first question we're going to answer is going to be the focus topic of the week, and that is going to be talk about running around your backhand to hit an inside-out forehand. So we're going to talk about running around your backhand ground stroke in your singles play. We're then going to talk about using a swinging volley in your tennis play. And if we have time after that, we're going to talk about the most common doubles error that I see from recreational players. So three great topics of discussion there. Hopefully I'll give you guys some great instruction that you can use to improve your game. Real quickly, before we get to those three questions, I just have two quick announcements. First of all, on the website, I have posted a link to a new Google map that has posted on it the locations of Essential Tennis listeners. And since I posted it a couple days ago, I think there's five or six of us that have our locations there. It's just kind of fun to see where people are that listen to the podcast and that use EssentialTennis.com. So it's just a fun little tool to check out where everybody else is that you hear me talking about that sends in their questions. I've got my location there as well. And it's fun to see new people popping up on the map. If you go to EssentialTennis.com, there's a link to the map in the upper right-hand corner. Also, quickly, last thing, I have just signed up for a Twitter account, which is a fun kind of social network type site to keep track of your friends and family and see what they're up to. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, just go to twitter.com/IanWesterman, I-A-N, and then Westerman, just like it sounds, but with two N's at the end. twitter.com/IanWesterman if you want to follow me on Twitter and see what I'm up to. Okay, let's get to our questions. Sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction.
And now it's time for the Essential Tennis Focus topic of the week.
All right, our focus topic of the week for episode number 34 is running around your backhand ground stroke. This topic was brought up by Charles, who on the forums is constantly posting with good information and questions. Always appreciate your participation, Charles. And he wrote in the podcast forum and said, a lot of pros like to run around their backhand. Even Nadal, who has a very good backhand, will often run around his backhand to hit a forehand. This is something I don't see very often with players at my level. Is it considered too advanced of a shot for weekend players, or do you think anyone can benefit from learning how to run around their backhand? Good question, Charles. Let's talk about that. Well, first of all, to answer your question directly, no, I don't think it's only for advanced players. I think it's something that any level player can use to their advantage and become a big benefit to them as long as two things are present. As long as you're confident with your forehand and it's a shot that you can hit a pressuring swing with, as long as you have the ability to attack with your forehand at least a little bit, and as long as you have good footwork, running around your backhand can be an excellent play. In my teaching, as I instruct my students, this is something I typically don't teach a lot of unless it's a more advanced player. And the reason for that is I believe that in practice, for the most part, people should try to hit evenly on both sides. It's tempting as you practice to hit more of the shot that you're most comfortable with, and it's tempting to just hit forehands because they feel better, if they do feel better to you. And it's tempting to kind of ignore the shot that doesn't feel quite as good and that you can't hit quite as good of a shot with, but that's dangerous. That can be a trap that can widen even further the ability levels between your forehand and your backhand side. the vast majority of players, either professional or amateur, do have a better forehand than backhand. And not practicing your backhand at least as much as your forehand can be a big mistake. So as I teach, I'm not really encouraging people to ignore their backhand and hit all forehands. That's not something that I feel would be smart on my part as a teacher. In fact, a lot of lessons I teach, there's more backhand practice than forehand practice to try to keep the backhand up to par with the rest of a player's game. So with that being said, in match play, however, you should be using your stronger shot whenever possible. And it's not that we're not playing the way that we practice. You guys have all heard that phrase. But in practice, you want to make sure you give yourself the best benefit possible. So working on your weak shot is the best thing to do. But when you're playing a match, it wouldn't be very smart to not use your stronger shot if you do have the opportunity to do that. So in match play, I do want you to use your stronger shot whenever it's possible to do within reason. This gives you the most advantage against your opponents. You want to give yourself the best possible chance of winning points. And if your forehand is in fact stronger and it's a shot that you prefer to hit, then if you had the ability and the opportunity to hit more forehands, that would make the most sense for sure. My forehand is quite a bit stronger than my backhand, and I run around it whenever it's possible. The only times I won't run around my backhand is if it would put me well out of position where it just wouldn't make sense to move that far over to my backhand side where it would leave a lot of court open. Or if it's just a weak shot and it's well over to my backhand side, as I said for the first reason, and hitting a backhand really just isn't going to be that much of a detriment over my forehand because it's an easy enough shot. I can pressure my opponent anyway, and putting myself out of position just doesn't really bring that much benefit to me. So with all that being said, it's kind of a quick overview there of if you should be hitting a runaround forehand, let's talk about how to use it in your play. Runaround refers to hitting a forehand on a ball that was hit to your backhand side of the court originally. So if you're a right-handed player and you're in a ready position in the middle of the baseline in your singles play, and the ball has been hit to the ad side of the court, which would be your backhand side, a runaround forehand would be a forehand hit off of a shot hit to the ad side of the court, assuming that you did in fact start right in the middle and you're halfway right in the middle of the court. A runaround forehand means you're running around your backhand in order to hit a forehand. To do this, you need quick footwork to move your body literally around the ball so that you can hit on your dominant side. And the best footwork to use for this, and really footwork is the biggest determinant here, guys. If you're not quick on your feet and you find yourself kind of easily put out of position in the first place, meaning you misjudge balls a lot, you're not exactly sure where the ball is going to be ending up as you make contact, and you often hit balls out of position, meaning they're high, they're low, they're too far away or too close. This is probably not something you want to start using a lot, but if you're quick on your feet, this is a great play. The best footwork to use in order to hit a good runaround forehand is this. If you're right-handed from your ready position, I'm going to give you guys two different types of footwork you can use, by the way. To hit a good runaround forehand. The first one is, if you're right-handed, from your ready position, your right foot should pivot back first behind your left. And a ready position means you're parallel to the baseline. Your feet are wide, at least shoulder width apart. So from that position, once you've identified the ball is coming to your left side, but you're going to have time to get around it, your right foot should pivot back behind your left, which turns your body perpendicular to the baseline. And then from that position, you will backpedal using quick little steps, getting your body back to the left as you were originally facing the net. You're going to move to your left, moving backwards using quick little steps to get your body in position to make the swing as a forehand. So you're basically backpedaling from an already turned position. You're pivoting your right foot back to turn your body, and then you're backpedaling back to move your body to the left in order to make a forehand swing on what would normally be a backhand shot. This is good footwork to use because it turns your body and puts you in a position where you're prepared to make a swing at the ball right away. As soon as the ball gets to you, your body is already turned and you're prepared to rotate forwards and make a good forehand ground stroke swing at the ball. The second type of footwork you can use is kind of a combination of shuffling and backpedaling. And in general, this is kind of what you'll see the pros do most. Rather than pivoting back right away, you can start from your ready position. And once you've identified the ball as being hit to your backhand side, but you'll have time to run around it, you can use a couple of quick shuffle steps, meaning you stay parallel to the baseline and you shuffle to the side. And then as you've shuffled enough times to get to the left side of the ball to where you can hit a forehand, then you will pivot your foot back before you make your swing at the ball so that you can get your body turned to the side. If you have an open stance forehand, technically you could just shuffle and then rotate your upper body, your torso, in preparation to hit a forehand ground stroke. But if you watch players on TV, the vast majority of them are turning their body and their stance to the side in order to move comfortably to the left, to position their body for a forehand, and then be able to use a full rotation with their forehand back forwards to make a full swing at the ball. Now, lastly here, we've kind of given a brief overview of the runaround forehand. We've talked about the best way to move your feet and the best footwork to use in order to get in the best position possible. Now let's talk about where to aim. And in Charles's post, he mentions three different places where the pros will aim with a runaround forehand, either inside out deep in the corner, which would be in effect the same thing as a cross-court backhand. So if you're right-handed and you've run around a forehand, inside out means that you're hitting from the ad side of your side of the court to the ad side of your opponent's side of the court. So you're hitting cross-court using a forehand on your backhand side. That's one option. Second option is going in that same direction but a sharper angle and angling the ball off, a little bit less pace and a little bit more spin to really move the opponent off the court. And the third main option as far as where to aim would be down the line. So hitting the forehand on the ad side down the line to your opponent's deuce side of the court. In effect, the same thing as a down the line backhand. Now, I'm just going to go over one of those, which I think is, in general, the best option for you guys right now. Unless you are a 4 or 5 level player and looking to move your game up to the next level, I think, in general, you guys should just be aiming deep cross-court with this shot. And I'm going to give you guys a couple reasons why it's your best bet. This creates a cross-court forehand from your backhand side over to your opponent's ad side of the court. And I think this is your best bet for 4 reasons. First of all, the net is lower as opposed to the sharp angle, or if you go down the line, if you go right dead across the middle of the net, that's the lowest part of the net, so that gives you more room for error. Also, the court is longer when you go from corner to corner and aim deep in the court. So again, that improves your chances of making the shot. It also moves your opponent off the court if you're hitting at an angle. Now, this isn't as much of an angle as aiming for the side tee, of course, but it's a little bit higher percentage shot. So as opposed to down the line, I think hitting cross court and using the angle on the court not only gives you more room for error, but it's going to move your opponent more than hitting down the line. And fourthly, it's going to hit back to your opponent's backhand side, unless you're playing a left-handed player. And as I stated earlier in the podcast, for the vast majority of tennis players, this is going to be their weaker shot. So for those 4 reasons, I think going deep cross court, hitting inside out, is usually going to be your best bet. If you're already comfortable with that and you've gotten pretty good at hitting inside out deep, then developing those 2 other target areas is an excellent thing to do so that you have options and you're not predictable. But if you're a 2-5 level player up through a 3-5 level player, I would focus mainly on hitting deep cross courts because it's going to be the highest percentage shot and you still are pressuring your opponent. You're hitting to their backhand side of the court. So that's my review of the runaround forehand. Charles, hopefully that answers your question. And again, to answer Charles's question, yes, if you've got decent footwork and your forehand is stronger, I would definitely go ahead and start working on this. If you're not able to attack with your forehand, I would hesitate to start trying it, because you don't want to put yourself way out of position and then just hit an average shot that your opponent can then, you know, use against you and hit to the open courts.
The Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by
Bridgewater Medical Group. Is a multi-specialty medical group located in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and is your home for primary care, gastroenterology, sports medicine, and general internal medicine. They offer a broad array of on-site, state-of-the-art services to make your healthcare experience more pleasurable. Scheduled appointments are preferred, but physician assistants are available for walk-in care. For more information, call Bridgewater Medical Group at 908-722-0808.
For more information on sponsors of the Essential Tennis Podcast or to become a sponsor, visit www.essentialtennis.com.
All right. Next up is a question from Rich, again posted to me on the forums. He said, Ian, can you talk about the swinging volley? How do you hit it and when do you hit it? Thanks, Rich. Sure, Rich. I would definitely enjoy talking about that. The swinging volley, as opposed to the last shot we talked about, the runaround forehand, which I think can be implemented by most levels in tennis, I think the swinging volley is definitely an advanced shot and something that should be developed after other things in your game have really been nailed down and can be used effectively. It's a highly aggressive shot, and compared to a regular volley, it's quite low percentage. And I don't want to badmouth the shot. It can be definitely useful and a shot that can be used correctly. However, those two statements I made a second ago, both are true. It's very, very aggressive. And compared to other choices you have for taking the ball out of the air, it's a pretty low percentage, relatively speaking. So it's not a shot that I'm not sure I've ever encouraged any of my students to try. And it's a shot that in my own play, I will try from time to time. Honestly, only when I'm really feeling good and just having a great day and kind of everything is working kind of day. And I'm a 5.0 player, which is above average. It's not incredible, but certainly I have more options available to me than the average level player. And it's still something that I don't attempt very often. That being said, I like my regular volleys a great deal, so I would usually lean towards them anyway. I think that in general, producing confident, firm, regular volleys first is much more important for the recreational player than trying to develop a swinging volley. And the reason for that is being comfortable and good with a regular traditional volley stroke first, it's just going to be better for you in the long run. It's a more useful shot. You can use it in many more situations. It's going to serve you better as a whole, as opposed to working on the much more aggressive swinging volley. That being said, I'll be happy to go over it for you, Rich. And your first question was when to hit it. Well, I'm going to say it's okay to try it, as long as three conditions are met. If your opponent is out of position, and this is in a singles point, by the way, if you've put your opponent out of position with a good shot and you see that they're out of position, they're going to barely get to the last shot that you hit. They're struggling to get to your shot, and they're obviously not going to hit a very effective ball in reply. That's condition number one. Condition number two, you've recognized this early. You see that they're going to be out of position. They're struggling to get to the ball, and you've already started moving forwards, which you should be anyway in your singles play. And that's a topic we could discuss on another day. When you see your opponent out of position and obviously going to hit a defensive shot, whether in singles or in doubles, you should be moving forwards. That's condition number two. Condition number three, after you've begun moving in, you've already started moving forwards, and they've put up a weak floating shot that you can easily take out of the air, That's the third and final condition. So your opponent is out of position. You identify that. Having identified that, you start moving forwards early before they hit their shot, which is a good play anyway. And then thirdly, after you've begun moving in, they put up a weak floating ball that you can easily hit out of the air. If any of those three conditions are not met, I wouldn't try it, honestly, because it's just too tough of a shot to make unless all of these things are in your favor. If you just go running into the net off any shot and just try to take it out of the air as a full swinging volley, meaning a ground stroke swing out of the air, good luck. That's awfully hard. And anybody who plays a lot of tennis, well, actually, I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of people who play a lot of tennis that don't understand that the most common way that a point ends in tennis is by somebody making a mistake. So for you to be taking a chance by going for a low percentage shot in the long run is not going to work out very well for you. So let me encourage you to only try this if everything is in your favor. Your opponent's out of position, you've gotten a weak shot, and you yourself are in good position. You've moved forwards. All right, that being said, let's talk about how to hit it. This swing should be basically the same thing as a topspin ground stroke. You're making an upward swing at the ball. Your racket face should be pretty close to perpendicular at contact. You don't want it open. You don't want it closed. It should be flat. And you're using your whole body well, rotating your core, all the things you should be doing on a good ground stroke from behind the baseline. The difference is you want to be making even more of an upward swing than normal. Typically, you should be making an upward swing anyway because from behind the baseline, you've got 80 feet of court to cover from baseline to baseline, and you've got the net in the way. So to be consistent from behind the baseline, making an upward swing is essential. If you're taking the ball out of the air as a swinging volley, you need to make even more of an upward swing for two reasons. First of all, the ball is falling from out of the air much higher than it normally would, and it's going to have much more momentum moving downwards than on your typical ground stroke. And you need to overcome that extra downward momentum to make it over the net in the first place. So it's going to feel like you're making a swing to hit the ball over two nets on top of each other in order to make it comfortably over the net at a height that you normally would want to anyway. And again, because the ball is falling from out of the air, it hasn't bounced and absorbed all the energy and momentum out of the ball. You're taking it right out of the air. So you're going to have to make up for that by swinging upwards more. The second reason why you're going to want to swing upwards more than normal is because you're going to be well inside the baseline by the time you make contact with this shot, and you're going to want to curve the ball back into the court by creating some good topspin. And that's just going to be the smarter way to hit this shot. You could hit it as a relatively flat shot, but that just makes it even more inconsistent and more of a low percentage shot than it already is. So those are the two things you want to keep in mind. You're going to want to curve the ball by making topspin, and you're going to want to lift the ball more than normal because the ball is falling out of the air. And both those things can be taken care of by swinging upwards more, probably twice as much is what it's going to feel like than normal. So those are the technique things you need to keep in mind when practicing and trying this shot. So Rich, hopefully that answers your questions. You know what? I won't deny it's a fun shot to hit. And when you make it, it's awesome. You know, it's just one of those shots where when you put it in play and win the point, it's just a cool shot to make. And makes you look like you really know what you're doing. But it's also one of those shots that when you go for it and miss it, you kind of look like a dummy because you could have just blocked it in play and had your opponent in a bad spot anyway, instead of taking the risk of making a big swing at the ball. So I'm not condemning the shot as a whole. It certainly has its place, but just realize that it's a difficult shot to make consistently. So be wise as you choose when and how to try this shot. All right, one more thing before we wrap up for today on episode number 34. I just wanted to give you guys a couple quick words of encouragement that I've had on my mind. And we'll save that doubles question for another podcast when we have some more time. I just wanted to tell all of you who have been listening on a regular basis that I'm so proud of you guys for being Essential Tennis Podcast listeners. I really mean that. It means that you're taking your game seriously and you're really putting in all the effort you can to take your game to the next level. You've taken the initiative and made a commitment to be a better player than you were before. And that's something a lot of people don't do. They just kind of skate through and just kind of play for fun, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you guys have all taken the time and the commitment necessary to advance your games. Having worked at many clubs already in my career, and I'm not very old, but I've already worked at several clubs, several different types of clubs. I've worked at commercial clubs and private clubs, country clubs. So many players just kind of coast through. They show up and they have a good time and they meet new people and they get some exercise, but very few are committed to improving their game as an overall goal or attitude. And those are the types of people and players that I want to work with most. And that's why I started this podcast and the website, is because I wanted to help more people like you, more people like that, who are truly motivated, and they show up every day with, you know, the desire to work and the desire to learn, and they're motivated and passionate about their tennis. And I really look forward to the future and what it holds both for me and all of you as I try to continue to grow Essential Tennis. I know that all of us will continue to grow kind of as a team as I keep improving the website and the podcast, and all of you guys continue to work at your games and use the information that I'm giving you. I know that we will all continue to grow and improve as a group, because all of us are motivated to get better at what we're working at. And that's really something that you guys should be excited about, and that's something that should motivate you guys even further. There's a thread on the forums right now. Charles and one other person, was it Rich? Maybe it was Steve. We're talking about how they had a couple of good practice sessions in a row, and they were really thinking, "Oh man, this is it. I'm going to really move my game up to the next level." And then all of a sudden, they had a day that was just bad. It was just below average, and that can be frustrating sometimes. But let me encourage you guys to keep working at it. You will continue to improve. You're always going to have those days where you don't perform quite up to what you expected. There's always going to be good days and bad days. But because you guys have shown the commitment and initiative to come and listen to my podcast, I know that you're going to stick at it. You're going to stay in there and keep on working at it. And the final thing I wanted to say was, you can do it. You can improve your strokes, your mental game, your strategy, everything else about your tennis. You've already shown the most important keys to doing this, having the desire and motivation needed to go that extra step. You're going beyond what's necessary to simply be able to play the game. And you've taken steps now to improve and become better than your peers. That's the direction you guys are headed in, because you've started to take it seriously. You've gone out there to find good information and instruction that will continue to make you a better player. By listening to this podcast, you've shown that you have that drive. And I just wanted to tell you guys how proud I am of you, of doing that. And you guys are exactly the type of people that I wanted to work with as I went out to do this and kind of take this extra step in my career. So thank you guys all so much for being listeners, and really encourages me every day when I get feedback and I see people posting on the forums and participating. You guys should all be proud of yourselves for the work you've put in, and take pride in yourselves as tennis players. You'll continue to get better as you keep on putting in the time and effort necessary to improve your games. All right, that does it for the Essential Tennis Podcast, episode number 34. Thank you for joining me today. It's been a pleasure as always. Remember to go to EssentialTennis.com, sign up for the Google Map, and show us all where you're playing your tennis and where you live, and join in on the community there. Also, go join me on Twitter, and together we can kind of check each other out and see what we're up to as far as just living. It's kind of cool to check up on people that you know and see what they're up to. So until next week, I hope you guys have a successful week in your tennis play and everything else that you do. Have a great weekend, and I will talk to you guys next Monday for Essential Tennis Podcast number 35. Take care, everybody, and good luck with your tennis.